You know, if a violin string snaps, the problem is incredibly obvious. You literally see the two frayed ends dangling over the fingerboard. You toss the broken string, you string a new one, and you're done. The whole diagnostic process takes like, what, 3 seconds?
Right, yeah, it's immediate.
But then you step into the percussion section, right? You look at a set of timpani, and it is just, it's a diagnostic nightmare because a drum head can look perfectly intact, like smooth and flawless to the naked eye, but on a molecular level, it's just completely died.
Oh, absolutely. And it creates a tremendous amount of frustration in the rehearsal room because, you know, we rely so heavily on visual cues to tell us when something is actually broken.
Right. If it looks fine, it must be fine.
Exactly. When a timpani head fails, the plastic is usually still in one piece. It still stretches over the bowl, and it still technically makes a sound. Yet musically, the instrument is actively fighting the player.
And that invisible structural failure is our entire mission today. Welcome to this deep dive into the hidden, highly stressed life of timpani heads. We're looking at a fascinating musician's guide that details the real-world physical behavior of PT film, which, I mean, most percussionists just call Mylar, right?
Yeah, Mylar's the classic trade name everyone uses.
Right. And we are doing this deep dive specifically for the serious timpani student, the professional timpanist, and especially those music educators who actually have to maintain these instruments.
Because the goal here is to translate plain polymer science into actionable rehearsal room mechanics. If you understand the fundamental material science behind how that plastic film behaves, you stop guessing.
You actually know what's going on.
Exactly. You can accurately diagnose why a drum won't clear. You can avoid some incredibly destructive repair techniques, and you'll know definitively when a head just needs to be thrown in the trash.
So, if you're listening and you've ever dealt with a brand new head that takes like 3 days to settle, or maybe you found these mystery dimples from aggressive hard mallet playing, or oh, and this is the worst, you've noticed that weirdly crispy, fragile edge when you take an old head off, this deep dive is for you.
Oh, yeah, the crispy edge.
We are going to connect those daily rehearsal room frustrations directly to the molecular physics of the plastic itself.
And before we can even begin to diagnose damage, we really have to look at the genesis of the material. Like, what is this synthetic film actually made of, and how does it behave the very moment you apply tension to it?
Okay, let's unpack this. The terminology in the source material is super dense, but if we look at the core acronym for the plastic used in these drum heads, it's BOPET.
Right.
And that stands for biaxially oriented PET film. And the key word that the source highlights over and over again is oriented.
Yeah, that orientation is literally the entire foundation of the drumhead strength. During manufacturing, the raw plastic film isn't just, you know, rolled out flat. It is violently stretched in two directions, simultaneously, biaxially.
So they're pulling it tight from all sides.
Exactly. That extreme stretching process forces the chaotic polymer chains inside the plastic to align into this tight, organized grid. He gives the film massive tensile strength and stability. But, and this is the crucial part, it also locks in a manufacturing history.
Wow.
Yeah, the plastic literally carries a physical memory of the heat and the stress that formed it.
And knowing that the plastic has this physical memory completely changes how you view the initial mounting process because it behaves in a really specific way under tension, governed by a property called viscoelasticity.
Right?
In plain language, this material has kind of a split personality. It behaves partly like a traditional spring, you know, bouncing back instantly, and partly like a slow-moving viscous solid.
And because of that viscoelastic nature, the moment you put a new head on a timpani and turn those tuning lugs, you initiate two distinct time-dependent behaviors, which was called creep.
Creep sounds sinister.
It does. But creep is just the physical reality of the film slowly, imperceptibly stretching more and more over time while it's under a constant steady load.
That makes me think of breaking in a new pair of memory foam running shoes. Like on day one, the foam is stiff, right? It pushes back really hard against your foot.
Oh, perfect analogy.
But as you wear them, the foam slowly yields. It creeps under the constant pressure of your body weight until it eventually forms a permanent impression of your footprint.
The mechanical parallel there is spot on. While the drum head is creeping and slowly stretching, it is simultaneously undergoing a second behavior called stress relaxation.
Okay, what is that?
This is a drop in internal tension. You might tune the drum to a perfect A, leave the room, and literally never touch the tuning lugs again. But inside the plastic, those heavily strained polymer chains are slowly untangling and relaxing their grip. So the physical tension drops entirely on its own.
Which completely demystifies the whole idea of settling. Because timpanists always talk about how a new head sounds choked or dead on the first day.
Oh, constantly.
Right. You tune it up and the drum just doesn't resonate. But you come back 48 hours later, play that exact same note, and suddenly the bowl is just ringing beautifully.
Yeah.
It isn't percussion superstition. The material is actively creeping and relaxing. The acoustic properties are fundamentally changing as the polymer chains adjust to the tension.
That's right. But we do have to look at the dark side of that settling process.
Mm-hmm.
Viscoelasticity is completely stress history dependent.
Wait, if the material is slowly creeping and relaxing to adapt to its environment, what happens if I mess up the initial mounting? Say I'm careless, I don't center the head properly, and I just crank one side of the drum way too tight. Does the viscoelasticity, like, bail me out? Will the plastic just magically stretch more on the tight side and heal my mistake by tomorrow?
What's fascinating here is that the material actually does the exact opposite. Uneven stretch cements the unevenness into the drum head forever.
Are you serious?
Yes. Because viscoelastic behavior is stress history dependent, those zones of the plastic under high stress creep at a significantly faster rate than the zones under low stress.
So the plastic is actively recording my bad tuning habits.
In a very literal sense, yes. If one sector of the head is pulled tighter than the rest, or if it gets caught and binds at the edge of the bowl, that localized tight spot undergoes accelerated creep and relaxation. It changes its molecular density at a different rate than the rest of the film.
Wow.
So within a day or two, you have permanently warped the internal structure of the head.
The acoustic manifestation of that must be a total nightmare. I mean, you might use a pitch pipe, turn the lugs, and get the pitch to roughly match at a few spots around the drum. But internally, the stress map is just chaotic.
Exactly. And because of that, the drum will never hold a clear fundamental tone. You'll hear this persistent shimmer, or the pitch will actively beat against itself.
Make that classic wah-wah-wah sound instead of a pure straight hum.
Right. Or you might manage to clear the head so it sounds perfectly in tune at an F, but the moment you use the pedal to go up to a C, the overtones clash and it sounds entirely out of tune again.
Because the plastic simply never forgets that mechanical imbalance. And if the material locks in our mistakes across the main playing surface, I can't even imagine what happens at the spot taking the absolute most physical abuse, the bearing edge.
Yeah, the bearing edge is a profoundly hostile environment for a polymer film. Just think about it. This is a sharp, sometimes Teflon-coated lip of the copper bowl that the plastic head bends sharply over.
Right, and the manufacturers of peat film often state that Mylar doesn't get brittle under normal conditions. Like, it's incredibly stable. But the bearing edge of a timpani violates every single rule of normal conditions.
Well, completely.
You have a sharp crease, you have intense, crushing, downward, clamping pressure from the counter hoop, and worst of all, you have constant friction. Every single time a player uses the tuning pedal to change notes, that plastic is subjected to microslip, just dragging back and forth over the metal lip.
And engineers refer to the degradation in this specific high friction zone as flex cracking. It is a localized fatigue failure. Over the lifespan of the drum head, the repeated bending, dragging, and flexing produces a microscopic network of physical cracks right at the crease.
Here's where it gets really interesting. If you think about bending a metal paperclip back and forth over and over, at first it bends easily, right? You don't see any damage.
Right.
But eventually, the metal right at the bend gets fatigued. It gets stiff. It gets incredibly brittle. And then, snap, it breaks. That is the essence of flex cracking. So when we take off an old head and the edge feels crispy, we aren't just feeling old plastic, we're feeling a concentrated zone of microdamage.
That is exactly right. If we connect this to the bigger picture, because heads fail by stress history and not just time, this bearing edge crease often becomes the primary failure line, even if the center of the head looks pristine. And that microdamage often takes the form of crazing.
Crazing?
Yeah. If you look closely at a heavily flex-cracked bearing edge, the plastic often looks slightly cloudy or white. That cloudiness isn't dirt. It's a dense network of microfractures reflecting the light. The structural integrity is failing, much like the spiderweb cracks in a sheet of safety glass.
That really highlights a massive misunderstanding about when to replace a head, because players will often press their hand into the center of the drum and say, well, it still bounces, it feels flexible, it's not stiff, so it must still be good.
Yeah, they are confusing stiffness with toughness.
So if I'm pressing the center of the drum and it feels springy, I'm measuring stiffness. But toughness, is that more about the actual molecular glue holding the plastic together at those extreme stress points?
Exactly. Toughness is the material's actual resistance to fracture. A drumhead might still feel loose and flexible in the main playing zone, allowing it to vibrate and produce sound. But right at that bearing edge crease, it has completely lost its toughness due to that flex cracking. It has become fundamentally, irreversibly brittle.
Which is why when you remove an old head to clean the drum and you handle that edge, it actually feels weirdly crispy, like you hear a crinkling sound that a brand new head simply doesn't make.
Right. That crispy texture is the physical evidence of flex cracking. Timpani heads fail based on their accumulated stress history, not merely the passage of time on a calendar.
Right, it's not just age.
Normal aging might make the plastic a tiny bit duller or discolored over a decade, but the intense, repetitive mechanical stress at the bearing edge creates permanent microdamage. The head loses resonance and becomes structurally compromised long before it actually tears completely through.
So we have the bearing edge getting destroyed by structural bending and friction. Now we have to look at the main playing zone, because what happens when a player really lays into the instrument during a massive, aggressive fortissimo passage using hard, wooden, or felt mallets?
Well, the plastic suffers localized impact damage. We usually see this as deep, distinct dimples cratered right into the playing area.
And the source material is very direct about these dimples. They are not cosmetic dents that you can just ignore. They represent permanent set, which is a severe form of plastic deformation.
Yes.
The intense concentrated strike of a hard mallet actually thins out the film in that exact spot and causes localized crazing.
And because the plastic has been physically thinned and stretched past its yield point by the mallet impact, it fundamentally vibrates differently than the healthy plastic surrounding it. Just like the uneven mounting we discussed earlier, that permanent impact damage creates a fast track for pitch instability.
So it's ruined.
Yeah, the dimpled zone won't hold a pitch center. The overtones clash, and the drum just loses its clarity.
Seeing those dimples and hearing that murky tone inevitably leads people to try and fix it. And I have personally seen so many well-meaning percussionists try to use a heat gun to iron out those dimples.
Oh, no.
They do. They treat the drum head like a wrinkled cotton shirt. They blast the dent with high heat. The plastic visibly shrinks, the dimple pops out, and it looks totally smooth again.
It is arguably the single worst thing you can do to a timpani head. It is an absolute trap.
Really? The worst thing?
By far. To understand why it destroys the drum head, we have to look at a thermal property called the glass transition temperature, often abbreviated as TG. For the Boa PET film used in these heads, this transition happens around 70 to 80 degrees Celsius.
And when the plastic hits that temperature threshold, the polymer chains suddenly gain massive mobility. And because we know the film was biaxially oriented, you know, violently stretched in a factory, we know those chains have a locked-in memory of their original unstretched state.
Exactly. The heat gun effectively unlocks the chains. The localized heat raises the plastic past its glass transition temperature, and those polymer chains violently relax, trying to snap back to their thick, unstretched factory shape.
Oh, wow.
Visually, the dent disappears because the material pulls itself tight. But structurally, the material in that spot has been ruined.
Expanding on that wrinkled shirt analogy really exposes the danger. If you iron a wrinkled cotton shirt, the heat and steam just convince the fibers to lay flat. The structure of the shirt doesn't change. But if you hit this plastic film with a heat gun, you aren't ironing it. You are telling a tiny, concentrated circle of plastic to violently shrink, while the cooler plastic right next to it stays stretched and tensioned. It would be like pulling a drawstring incredibly tight right in the middle of a taut bed sheet. You create a massive, permanent stiffness mismatch.
Which is terrible for the acoustics. Now, I see the logic some players use. This raises an important question. Wait, if the danger is a localized hotspot, couldn't I just sweep the heat gun over a much larger area to blend it out and make it safer?
Yeah, just kind of feather the heat around. Does that work?
Unfortunately, no. Sweeping drastically increases your odds of warping a massive section of the head. More critically, sweeping makes it highly likely that you will accidentally drift the heat gun too close to the collar and the bearing edge crease.
Oh, the crispy zone.
Exactly. We already established that the crease is fragile and full of flex cracking. If you hit that weakened zone with a wave of heat, it will shrink unpredictably, and you will completely destroy whatever dimensional stability the head had left.
And the source makes a terrifying point about doing this while the head is still mounted on the drum, which people do all the time.
All the time.
That is the ultimate worst-case scenario. When the head is clamped down by the counter hoop under hundreds of pounds of pressure, it is fully constrained. If you apply high heat to a constrained material, the plastic desperately tries to shrink, but it physically can't move because the hoop is locking it in place, you trap massive, unpredictable residual stresses inside the film.
And it gets worse. Heads manufactured with insert rings, those metal rings built into the collar to help with seating, are especially unforgiving to thermal shock. The metal ring constrains the geometry even more rigidly. If you induce local shrinkage with a heat gun near an insert ring, the collar will permanently warp and the head will literally never seat evenly on the bearing edge again.
So the takeaway is super clear. If a mallet impact dimple is so deep and acoustically disruptive that you find yourself reaching for a heat gun in the tool closet, the head is already dead.
It's gone.
Heating it is a massive structural gamble. It might look cosmetically smoother for an afternoon rehearsal, but it will guarantee erratic tuning and a choked sound.
We have covered a massive amount of polymer physics here,
mm-hmm.
from biaxial orientation, a viscoelastic creep, to flex cracking, and the thermal shock of heat guns.
It's a lot.
For a music educator, especially like a high school band director looking at a room full of struggling percussion students, the challenge is translating this science into a daily routine.
Right. And the most empowering realization for an educator is understanding that an unstable pitch or a drum that sounds muddy isn't always a failure of the student's ear.
Yes.
It is very often a structural failure of the material itself. We really need to stop telling students to listen harder when the plastic is physically incapable of producing a clear pitch.
To manage that, the source outlines a very specific three-step teaching hierarchy for drum head health and tuning.
Yeah.
And you cannot skip steps. First is geometry and seating. You have to meld the new head perfectly centered. The overhang must be symmetrical around the entire bowl before you apply any real tension.
And step two is friction and equalization. You need the head to move smoothly over the bearing edge. If there is too much friction, the tension gets trapped near the lugs and doesn't equalize across the playing zone. This is why keeping the edge clean and properly lubricated is vital.
Exactly. And only after the geometry is perfect and the friction is minimized do you move to step three, fine tempering. This is the process of making microscopic adjustments to individual tuning lugs to align the final overtones and clear the pitch. But fine tempering is completely useless if the geometry is warped from the start.
And that hierarchy completely dictates the timeline for mounting a new head. You mount for absolute symmetry, and then you must treat the first 48 to 72 hours purely as settling time.
Let it creep.
Let it creep. You are letting the viscoelastic creep and the stress relaxation run their course. You don't obsess over fine-tuning on day one because the molecular structure is literally still shifting.
And crucially, educators must mandate a strict ban on extreme hard mallet fortissimo playing until that head has fully stabilized. If a student hits a cold, newly tensioned head with a wooden mallet on day one, the plastic hasn't relaxed enough to absorb the blow.
You'll just dent it immediately.
Yes, you will induce permanent impact damage and dimpling before the head has even settled. Educators can actually easily implement a simple weekly checklist for their percussionists to track the health of these instruments. It takes 60 seconds.
Oh, that's smart. What's on the checklist?
Have the student visually inspect the main playing zone for impact dimples or crazing. Have them press the pedal through its full range if it feels jerky or binding. You have a friction issue at the bearing edge that needs to be addressed.
So what does this all mean for actually replacing the heads? The big question is always, when is it time to give up and buy a new one?
Well, the source provides three definitive, undeniable indicators that the plastic is structurally compromised and requires immediate replacement. The first indicator is persistent pitch, shimmer, or beating. If you clear the drum perfectly at an A and it sounds beautiful, but you pedal up to a C and it immediately starts producing a wavering beating sound, the structural integrity of the film is compromised.
Because the stress history is too chaotic?
Exactly.
The second indicator is a weak principal tone, specifically down in the low register. The lowest notes on a timpani require the head to vibrate with maximum flexibility. If the low notes sound thin, papery, or weak, the overall toughness of the head has degraded.
And the final indicator is bearing edge crease brittleness. Whenever you remove the head to clean the bowl, just run your fingers around that sharp crease. If it feels crispy, fragile, or crinkles audibly, it has suffered fatal flex cracking. The head is finished.
And for institutional settings, high schools, universities, professional orchestras, replacement decisions, absolutely must be driven by these specific damage symptoms and seating behaviors. You cannot let administration or budgets dictate head replacement based on the excuse of, well, the plastic isn't torn yet and it still covers the bowl.
Oh, I hate hearing that.
Tympani heads fail by accumulated stress history. They die a silent death.
They do. It forces a fundamental shift in how you interact with the instrument. You aren't just hitting a piece of inert, dumb plastic. You are manipulating a complex polymer structure that is constantly recording every physical interaction you have with it.
Which actually leads to a really wild, provocative thought to leave you with today. We know that this Boapet film literally retains a molecular memory of its entire life. It remembers every uneven turn of a tuning key, every wild temperature swing in the band room, the abrasive friction of every pedal movement, and the microscopic permanent set of every single fortissimo strike.
Every single action leaves a mechanical footprint in the polymer chains.
So what if we stopped looking at discarded tympani heads as just worn-out trash? Think of the drum head not as plastic, but as a physical acoustic hard drive.
A physical record of the percussionist's career. That's a fascinating way to look at it.
Exactly. Could a material scientist take a worn-out tympani head out of the dumpster, put it under a microscope, map the microstrains, analyze the flex cracking, and actually reverse engineer the percussionist who played it?
Oh, absolutely.
Could they look at the plastic and deduce their exact playing style, their bad tuning habits, and their dynamic preferences entirely from the stress history locked in the Mylar?
The data is undeniably there, permanently written into the molecular orientation of the film.
It really proves that when it comes to tympani heads, there are no clean, obvious breaks like a snapped violin string. The diagnostic waters are incredibly murky, but the plastic never, ever forgets.
Until next time.
Keep diving deep.